Well, I got a request. I do have a request, actually. My son-in-law, Tim, has been having issues with carpal tunnel in his hands. And we are believing God for healing. I haven't heard yet where they want to do anything about it, like a surgery or anything like that. But it's been really hindering him. And he, since he works for himself as a handyman, you know, and you're not able quite to do what you want to do and this and that, it's been discouragement. So I want to pray and come against discouragement. And also just continue to stand in faith, Monica, stand in faith with our sister Charlene Rhodes. She's battled all kinds of health issues, and she just needs an overhaul, some miraculous intervention in her physical body, her gallbladder issues recently, infections. But, man, she rears up on against that stuff, and she texted me Sunday morning, "Pastor, I need prayer. I've had a terrible bladder infection. I was up at 2 a.m. I'm sick at my stomach, and da, da, da. Please pray for me." And usually the end of that text goes this way: "So I won't be at church today." That's how it usually goes. And she goes, "But I am definitely going to try to be at church today, so pray for me." And in spite of the fact that she felt like something come loose in her hip and she's in pain and whatever else, man, her desire to be in the house of God and be there in that anointing and be around her brothers and sisters is stronger than that pain. So, but there's two people we can pray for. And
I have a couple unspoken prayer requests for my sister and her husband, Robert.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then continue to pray for Kaylin and Angel as they adjust to being restored.
Yeah.
As a family.
Yeah. Well, let's do that. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you, you have heard these that have been mentioned. You know every situation. God, we pray also for our listeners this morning. They may not have taken the time to send in a request, but God, you know what's on their hearts. You know what's on all of our minds. You know the situations that we're facing, Lord God, that try to pull us and distract us and cause us anxiety, Father. These issues that I mentioned with my son-in-law, Tim, with Charlene, Lord God, with Angel and his mom, Lord, with Robert, Renee, Lord God, you know every tiny detail. You know how the person is responding to the pressure that's being put on them by situations. You know what's going on. Just release your peace. Not a fuzzy, warm feeling of peace, but the powerful spiritual force of peace. The same spiritual force that caused a chaotic, demonic storm that was attempting, that the devil's using to try to kill the disciples in Jesus. Your supernatural power of peace caused that storm to cease and desist immediately. We release that same peace over every one of these situations and over our listeners and watchers, people who are watching us. And we thank you, God, that we know in all things you are working together for good. We release healing to those who physically need healing. We release supernatural wisdom to those who need some answers. They've got decisions to make. And Lord, we all have choices to make moment by moment and hour by hour. We ask you for wisdom, and you promised in your word in James that if we are in a trial, we're to count it all joy, but we can also ask for wisdom. And if we ask in faith, we will receive it. I believe you are the wisdom giver. You are wisdom personified, Jesus. And your Holy Spirit living in those who are born again causes your wisdom to be in us. Help us to receive it with our minds. Still the storm. We bind the confusion. We take authority over discouragement, over depression and despair. We cast down anxious thoughts. According to the word of God, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, powered by you, God, spiritually, to cast down imaginations, Cast down every high thing that exalts itself against knowledge of you, and take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. We give you praise for that, Father. And we release that in the lives of all those who need it, who are willing to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen, amen. Neva said. Neva said, yes, I'm listening. Ha ha. On the seasickness experience of Neva.
Uh-huh. And we probably could pray for her and Joe at this time, too. I bet they'd receive it. Father, we do lift Neva and Joe before you, Father. You know their hearts are trusting in you. And, Lord, I want to thank you. I celebrate the victories that you have given them in their lives, Lord God. There are many, many, many people, Lord, that are in their age category that cannot do the things that they can still do. And, Father, I know that especially Joe has had just physical struggles with the things that have attacked his body and the things he's having to deal with. But, Father, his courage, his strength is in you. His hope is in you. And, Father, they are making plans for their future because they believe that you have good plans for them in their future. And, Father, we just bless them. We pray for healing and hope and peace and grace, wisdom in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Prophetic Voice Ministries is located at 616 North Locust Avenue in Elk City, Apostle Casey Elliott. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey.
Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford, Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier. We hope.
You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. Our guest for today is Pastor D-Lock Dwight Shepherd. His title for this morning is Words for the Wise. Wake up, word up, wise up.
There you go. There you go. Stand up, speak up, show up, especially at church. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. We're talking about words to the wise. All right. Now, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 7. These words are written in red. So if you agree with them, you're right. And if you disagree with them, you're wrong. That's just how it is. This is Jesus himself speaking. Then we need to take it as such. In verse 21, We're going somewhere, so don't give up on me right here. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. In other words, lip service, don't cut the mustard. He said, but only he who does the will of my Father. He who does the will of my Father. In other words, live what you profess. He said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? You know what prophesy is? It means to speak on behalf of God. So he could literally be talking about preachers. Lord, did I not pastor your church for 30 years? Whatever. Lord, did I not speak to those people on your behalf? He said, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, only he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, do we not prophesy in your name? Do we not drive out demons? Do we not perform many miracles? I want to remind you of something before we move along. There's this guy who was a disciple of Jesus Christ who went on authorized mission trip with his partner. They sent him out two by two. And he went on an authorized mission trip with his partner under authority of Jesus, and he healed the sick and cast out devils and led people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Messiah. His name is Judas Iscariot. Did you know that Judas did those things? You probably do when I remind you of it. You go, oh, yeah, I remember Jesus sending the disciples out. See, but we don't think about one of those disciples was Judas Iscariot, who later on betrayed Jesus. Why? Because Satan literally entered the dude. And they said, well, I don't know how that all comes about. It's called compromise. It's called not doing things God's way. John's gospel tells us real clearly that Judas was the one who carried the money purse, and he used to help himself to the money. He's a thief, in other words. He's a thief who was willing to literally steal from Jesus out of the ministry money that people had given to help Jesus and the disciples so that they wouldn't have to be distracted with trying to have provision, and they could go and just do the mission of what Jesus was here to do. And Judas literally was so audacious and conniving, so deceived, that he literally thought, well, hey, Jesus, he multiplies the loaves and fishes. It won't hurt if I take a little. And I believe that was the open door that Satan used to get at him. And some people have portrayed Judas like, well, he had good intentions. He was trying to force Jesus to Messiah up, you might say. You know, rise up in the position of what the Messiah was supposed to do, because in Judas's mind and in many of the disciples' minds, you can see it in the Gospels, they expected Jesus to rise up and be the king of Israel and overthrow the Romans and overthrow the oppressors and set up the nation of Israel's kingdom again. And Jesus said, that's not the kingdom I come to establish. So Judas may have very well had the impression that if I force the issue and they come to arrest Jesus, he will literally obliterate them with his power. And then he will make known that he is a Messiah to everyone, come and sit on the throne in the temple, or you know, and he'll be the Messiah that we all expect him to be, the conquering hero, the redeemer and deliverer of Israel. Because they expected a warrior king, not a suffering servant. Isaiah tried 800 years, you know, here's your suffering servant. The Messiah is going to be suffering servant. You know, and by his stripes you will be healed. He bore the sins of many. You know, he was all that. They didn't get it because it didn't fit their preconceived idea. And so I'm saying to you that maybe Judas thought he had good intentions. But somewhere in his life, compromise entered in. He said, Lord, Lord. And he did cast out devils at one point, at one time. He was in a place where he had anointing on his life to cast out devils. He had anointing on his life to speak on Jesus' behalf or to prophesy. He had anointing on his life to do works in the name of Jesus. Okay, I'm not here to debate, you know, unconditional eternal security. I'm not here to debate that. It's irrelevant to me, to be honest with you. If you're doing the will of God, you're saved, you're doing the will of God, you ain't got to worry about it one way or the other. So what big deal? Who cares? You know, the only people I've ever known that have really been concerned about that are people that are wanting to live as far away from Christ as they can possibly live, live like the devil and still make heaven their home. And I'm going to tell you straight up, it don't work like that, and you know it. No, you know it. I want to believe that my friend, who I really like, I mean, he lived like the devil his whole life, but, you know, he did confess Christ at church camp when he was a kid. Well, I'm glad he did. I'm glad he knew. And maybe even in those last breaths of his life, him and Jesus had a great reconciliation that nobody even knows about. So I don't. It's not my job or your job to decide where someone else spends eternity. So why waste your thoughts? You hear the passion in my voice on that? I'm getting a little stirred up. Because I think there are a lot of people that spend far too much time trying to psychoanalyze everybody else's walk with the Lord when you ought to just, you know, work on getting the log out of my own eye so I can see clearly to help you get the splinter out of yours. Jesus said, not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, you can disagree with that if you want to. You can say, well, if you say Jesus is Lord, you're going to heaven. Well, you're wrong because he said it ain't going to work that way. He said it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, it's those who live, Lord, Lord. He told his own disciples one time, he goes, why do you call me Lord, but you don't do the things I say? He told them that. And I'm speaking truth. This is a word to the wise. Not everyone says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter in. Well, I want to enter in. Okay, well, he said, many will say, we did this, we did that in your name. Watch what he says in verse 22. He says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Knew is a word that is, we were never intimate. We were never made one. I'm going to tell you what it literally gets down to. He goes, you read the Bible like this. It says, Abraham knew his wife Sarah, and she conceived and bore a son. In order for you to conceive and bore a son, you have to become one. Intimate. I'm not talking about having sex with God. Anybody perverted heard that. I'm talking about becoming literally your life joined with his life. When Jesus uttered those wonderful words in Matthew 11, 20, he said, come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm humble and gentle in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you. It literally means join your life with mine. Not ask me to fix yours, but don't invade your privacy. You know, Jesse Duplantis one time preached a sermon called, Lord, take my pigs, but leave my pets alone. And the pigs were the pets. You know, a lot of people, honestly, they want God's help. They want Jesus' help, but they don't want Jesus' lordship. Word to the wise. He said, I'll tell you, I never knew you. Away from me. Now watch this. I never knew you. We weren't intimate. We didn't have that one life. I wasn't, you know, me and you, we weren't in it together. Why not? I never knew you. Away from me. King James Version on you. You workers of iniquity. NIV. Away from me, you evildoers. Evil what? Doers. Oh, you believe all the right things. You know who to call Lord. But do you do God's will? Well, Pastor, it ain't about works. I can read in Ephesians 2 says that we are saved by grace through faith. That's a gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast. I agree. And James says, show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. For faith without works is dead. We got to know the whole word. I agree. We are absolutely saved by grace through faith, and it's a gift from God. It's not of ourselves. I could not ever be good enough to save me from even the smallest sin I ever committed. But because I am saved, and because grace has saved me, grace has also changed me. And I want to please God. I don't want to see how far away from him I can live. I don't want to see what I can get away with. I want to be as close to him as I can possibly be. I want to be as much like him as I can possibly become, and that is a lifelong work. You don't plateau out at the satisfaction level. I'm good. I'm better than my neighbors. Where do you live at? You know, well, I live between Hitler and Mussolini. You know, I'm better than them. Don't compare yourself to people. That's not your guide. We're not called to be like other Christians. We're called to be like Jesus. They got that on a t-shirt. We might need it. So he went on. He didn't stop there. It didn't stop there. When you read your Bible, realize it was written without chapters and verses. It's a continuation. When he said, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers, the very next verse, which is 24, said, therefore, so that proves it continues, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and does what? Puts them into practice. Is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Remember, words for the wise. I'm giving you a word for the wise. Word for the wise is this. You better do it God's way. You better listen to what God has to say. What did God have to say at the end of 2022? He said, you better celebrate every victory, and you need to be faith-focused, not fear-focused. I'm going to give you a couple more, and then we're going to continue. Here's the other two things God said in that word. He said, celebrate every victory, be faith-focused, not fear-focused. He said this, do not be distracted or disappointed. He put those two together. And here's what's weird to me. I said, well, Lord, isn't that two things, not one? And it's like, here's what it is. Don't be distracted. You can be distracted because everything's going so well. I've watched it over and over and over again where people, when they're in crisis and they got situations going on, when they need God like a hog needs slop. And you can't shoo them away from the church. They're desperate. But when they're not desperate anymore, you can't find them. Foxhole faith, crisis Christianity. I don't care what label you put on it, it happens, and it happens a lot. That's not how we're supposed to live. I don't need a crisis to drive me to Christ. I have Christ's love that draws me to him. And listen, I don't have to go seek the Lord. You want to know why? This is going to sound arrogant. It's not, because I don't leave his presence. I gave up on that way of living a long time ago because that ain't nice. That's painful because you go get all up next to Jesus and you smell like Jesus and you're all pretty and fluffy, and then you decide, you know what, I'm going to do a little something-something. And you're out there in the world, in the devil's playground, under his jurisdiction, smelling and looking like Jesus. He's going to beat you to a pulp. You say, well, devil can't touch me. Whatever. If you're not under the lordship of Jesus Christ in what you're doing, you're wide open for him to come and just wait, the devil to come just waylay you. Do not be deceived, man. A thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He don't come for no other reason. But Jesus came that we can have abundant life. And whoever you're obeying, that's who is your Lord. If you're obeying the flesh, you're just giving right on in. Oh, I don't have nothing to do with the devil, but I'm going to do things my way. Hey, I guarantee you the devil loves that. He loves it. So Jesus said, whoever hears these words of mine, they put them in practice. They're like a wise man. He built his house on the rock. The what? The rock. Maybe you remember Jesus saying to Peter, they said, well, who do people say I am? He said, well, some say this, some say that, some say the other. Some of them think you're John the Baptist resurrected. Some of them think you're Elijah. Some of them think, well, who do you say I am? Peter pops up. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, Peter. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. In other words, this is a revelation from God. And he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Upon this rock. Some people go, well, the name Peter means little stone or rock. I was like, I understand that. But he ain't saying, upon Peter I'll build my church. Some people have actually took it that way. He's the first pope of the church. Upon the revelation rock that Jesus is the Son of the living God, the Messiah, I'll build my church. Rock means revelation. It means that it's a rhema. It's a, upon what God reveals to you, the truth that God speaks to you, what God tells you, that's the rock. So here's what Jesus is saying. He goes, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. In other words, builds your whole life. Your life should be founded upon what God says, the rock. Jesus is known as the chief cornerstone. The rain comes down. Now, here's what happens to people who build their house on the rock. Here's what happens to them. You know what happens to people who do things God's way? Listen. The rain comes down and the streams rise and the winds blow and beat against that house. That's what happens when you do things God's way. You want to know what happens when you don't do things God's way? The rains come down and the winds blow and it beats on the house. Because you and me and evil people who hate God all live on the same planet. The same wind blows on all of us. The same sun shines on the just and the unjust. The same rain falls on the just and the unjust. Right? There's weeds in my neighbor's garden and there's weeds in my garden. Difference is God shows me how to get them out. There is a distinction between the righteous and the unrighteous. But we all deal with the same kind of consequences. You're not going to have a life of leisure and no confrontation of the enemy just because you surrender to Jesus. Anybody tells you that if you give your heart to Jesus, all your troubles will go away and everything will be hunky-dory, they're preaching you a cotton candy version of some pseudo-gospel. It ain't the truth. But here is the truth. I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, says the Lord. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I won't fear nothing because you're with me, God. See, you can go through things with God, doing things God's way, and stand strong and firm and even enjoy the victory right in the midst of all the chaos. You can be having victory while everybody around you is seasick. So he said, if you hear my words and you put them in practice, you're like a wise man. Now, the rain still comes, the streams rose, winds blew, beat against the house, and yet it did not fall. Why not? Because its foundation was upon the rock. Its foundation was upon the revealed will of God. That is my bedrock foundation. Let me give you the last thing God said to me. I'm going to go over the first ones again. Celebrate every victory. Be faith-focused, not fear-focused. Don't be distracted. And don't be disappointed. In other words, just let God work it all out. And here's the final one. Make God's word final authority in every situation. That's what God told me to tell his people. Make God's word final authority in every situation. I mean, you listen to the doctor's report. Yep, I hear you, doc. I understand your training, doc. I see the x-rays. I see the whatever. Da, da, da. But the final word is, the Lord, I am the Lord who healeth thee. By his stripes you were healed. Jesus went about and healed them all. If you are willing, you can make me whole. I am willing, be whole. Just get all your information from that and go, I acknowledge the circumstance, but I deny the circumstance to have the final authority. I say that my God and his word, his covenant, is the final authority. And I'm going to celebrate every little victory, man. How can I be discouraged when I'm celebrating every victory? How can I be distracted if I'm celebrating every victory? I'm going to be faith-focused. I'm going to call the glass half full every single time. And when the tomato plants don't produce tomatoes, I'm going to thank God for the green leaves, and I'm going to call them tomatoes forth, knowing that God ordained, he works all things together for the good. So you just choose to have a faith attitude. And have I mentioned this? If I haven't, I should have. It ain't about your feelings. If you live by feelings, you live in failure. You live in defeat. You live with every wind of everything in the world knocks you around. You're up 1 minute and down the next, or maybe not take a minute. But I know people that have been steadfast. You say, yeah, but God so protects them, nothing bad ever happens. Liar, liar, pants on fire. That ain't true. Some of the people that you know in your life that are the most steady and steadfast have gone through some of the most tragic things that you can imagine. Things way worse than what you're going through right now. And listen, Not everybody responds. Dude, I've watched the same situation, and I've watched somebody, boom, this thing happens, and they immediately up out of their faith, their spirit, their trust in the Lord, rises this belief in the goodness of God, and a belief in heaven, and a belief in God's love, and a belief in his compassion, and they just lean into that, and they ignore all the stuff. And then I've seen other people that, boy, before it happened, you'd have thought they was the most strongest, powerful Christian on the face of the earth. And the same thing hits, and they're just gone. They're just gone. They're doubting that, you know, if there is a God, he must not love me. I don't know what he's doing. I don't know why he's doing this to me. And it's like, believe every stinking lie of the devil. And don't just believe it, but go around talking it so that it definitely becomes the fact. I'm not saying this to hurt anybody. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm just saying, listen, you got to live by the Word. And the Word tells us to have faith in God, trust in God, look to God, celebrate God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits, Psalms 103 says. Don't forget what God has done, what God has promised. Live it. And so Jesus said, the wise person hears what I say and they put it in practice. They practice what the Word says. I could go for 2 hours talking about that. But I won't. Just do what the Word says. And then he said this. And he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. In other words, that's not the way they live. He said, they're like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. What happens to people like that? Well, the same exact circumstance that happens to the people that do the Word of God. But the results are very different. The rain comes down, the streams rise, the wind blow against the house, and it falls with a great crash. And I like to think of it like this, too, man. I know people constantly. Their life, they'll start doing things God's way. And listen, God's way works. It doesn't instantaneously make everything better, but it makes everything better. Everything. And, man, they'll get going with God, and they'll be doing it God's way, and life is improving, and it's going good, and storms are raging around them, they're standing firm. And then if they don't continue to do things God's way, and they start opening up to compromise, and they back off a little bit and slack off a little bit, same storm still raging. But now all of a sudden the foundation's getting eroded from under them. They're forgetting what God has said and not operating by what God says. And, man, their life quickly becomes a train wreck again. And it's like, God doesn't intend you to have to live. That ain't fun, is it? We all know people. Maybe you've been people where you go along and everything's pretty good for a while because you're doing things God's way. But then you get distracted by how life is kind of let up off of you. Open the door. Little compromise here, little compromise. Little leaven leavens a whole lump. What area can you afford to not obey God in? The answer is there is not an area of your life you can afford to not obey God in. Because I saw this on Facebook the other day. Somebody posted a picture of a snake going through the foundation of a house in a crack. The snake's tail was hanging out. And it said the serpent don't enter through your door. He comes through the cracks in your foundation. And the foundation of our Christianity is obedience to God. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, but Jesus came down on the cross. I do what I want. That's not true. Jesus came and died on the cross so that you would have the ability to do what God wants. Without his sacrifice first, you wouldn't even have the ability to obey God. We would still be captive of the devil, taken by the devil to do his will. Jesus rescued us, redeemed us, delivered us like the sound of freedom. He set us free. But he set us free to make the choice to choose to believe and submit to his authority. So that's a word for the wise. Do the will of God. Don't be foolish and think that you can get away with not doing it. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you receive Jesus, that doesn't mean that sin still doesn't have wages. What it means is you're separated from sin, so you don't have to collect those wages. But if you continue to sin, sin still has wages, even for Christians. So be wise. Do what God has told you to do. You say, why are you yelling me about this today? Because God told me to be. I could have preached anything, but I'm sharing this. Why? Because we need to hear it. No, it doesn't matter what I've done for 27 years. What matters is what I'm doing today. My future's not determined by my past, good, bad, or otherwise. But my future is definitely determined by how I respond to God today, moment by moment. You say, but I blew it then. I blew it this morning. Well, unblow it. Go to God and tell him, I'm sorry, I confess it, I sinned, I messed up, I'm sorry, forgive me. He promised he would, and he promised he would cleanse you. And now get up from that. When you ask him forgiveness, you say, Father, thank you for that forgiveness right now. Thank you for a fresh start. And then you go act like you got a fresh start, because you did. And now do. Don't let what you didn't do a while ago or yesterday or last week or last year stop you from being obedient now. Amen. Father, bless our listeners and watchers today, and bless each one of us with a heart to hear, to believe, to obey, to respond. Keep us, guard us from deception, Father. I pray that if there's someone who has a habit, Lord, in their life, any form of habit, that is sinful in your sight, and they can't see it, I pray, God, you'd show us. I'm talking about me, too. If there's anything in our lives, Lord God, that is sinful in your sight, we want to know it. We want to see it. And we want to forsake it. Lead us, I pray, Father, today to repentance by your goodness. Let us be cleansed from everything that causes your will not to be done in any area of our life. We want your will. We believe your ways are always the best and you are good. Forgive us where we need it. Cleanse us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. You have been tuned into the hour power this morning, y'all. And you already know I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from our sister in Christ, Tina Dobbs, and from Pastor Delight, the White Shepherd. Y'all have a blessed day, and we will see y'all next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.